Sarah, as you well know, had no children. God came down to Abraham and Abraham said, as the stars of the sky, so shall your seed be. God said, Abraham, I'm going to confirm it. I'm going to show you that I mean what I say. I'm going to give you a boy. You're going to have a boy. And I'm going to confirm it. And here's how I'm going to do it. God said, Abraham, I want you to build an altar. I want you to take a heifer 3 years old, a she-goat 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a pigeon. And I want you to lay that ram, three-year-old ram, and three-year-old she-goat, and three-year-old heifer, and that turtle dove, and that pigeon on an altar. And I'm going to, when those animals, birds, are on the altar dead, I'm going to come and I'm going to consume those sacrifices with fire. And that's a divine confirmation that I'm going to give you a boy. And to me, one of the sweetest things in all the Bible took place. Abraham was accustomed to doing exactly what God said. You'll never go wrong that way, brother, never. So Abraham took a three-year-old heifer. A two-year-old won't do, and a four-year-old won't do. A three-year-old's all God wanted. And so he killed that three-year-old heifer and laid it on the altar just as God had said. He took the three-year-old she-goat and laid it on the altar right beside the heifer just as God had said. He took the three-year-old ram and laid it on the altar right beside the she-goat just as God had said. He took the turtle dove and laid it on the altar, killed it, laid it on the altar just as God had said. He took the pigeon, put it right behind the turtle dove and laid it on the altar just as God had said. Abraham waited for the fire to fall, but the fire didn't come for a while. But wait. Abraham sees strange things. Vultures coming. Buzzards, kites, and other carnivorous birds coming down and hovering over this ram, this heifer, this goat, this turtle dove, and this pigeon. Well, Abraham wanted to see the fire fall. And Abraham saw these creatures coming down, these buzzards and kites and ravens coming down to devour the bodies of his sacrifices. And the Bible says Abraham chased the fowls away. Look at old Abraham. Look at him. Way up in years. Here's a heifer and a ram and a goat and a turtle dove and a pigeon all lined up on the altar. And here come the buzzards to get the carcasses of these dead sacrifices. No Abraham against a swing. Now, I don't think about buzzards, but I've got an idea they came for his head and his eyes and tried to get the sacrifice. Abraham said, you won't get the sacrifice. I don't care how many of you buzzards come. You can't have the sacrifice. God is going to send fire, and God's going to devour these sacrifices, and you can't have them. No Abraham begins to flay his arms and fight the buzzards and the kites and the ravens that are coming to devour the bodies of his sacrifice. And God, Abraham said, you will not get them. You will not come to the sacrifice. And Abraham fought off the fowls, and the glory of the Lord came. Boy, that's wonderful when that happens. The glory of the Lord came. Why? Abraham had fought away the buzzards. Beloved, these vultures are not all dead. Let a church spring up carrying the message of Calvary and watch these carnivorous creatures collect to criticize. Let a preacher become a flame for soul winning and watch these buzzards buzz and burn and bellow and bark. Let a Christian become a soul winner and get on fire for God and love his Bible, like our brother said a while ago, and watch these fowls flock to flay the sacrifice. I mean, anytime anybody, see, this pigeon and this turtle dove and this ram and this goat and this heifer were a symbol of the perfect sacrifice of Christ. And just as Abraham fought the buzzards away, God is teaching us that we ought to fight everything away that would do injustice to the perfect sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the two sacrifices we have to guard The first sacrifice we have to guard is the sacrifice of Christ. That's the first sacrifice God wants. The second sacrifice we have to guard is the sacrifice of ourselves. For once we have accepted the sacrifice provided by God through His Son, then, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now the first sacrifice, even as Abraham guarded the sacrifice of the heifer and the ram and the goat and the pigeon and the turtle dove and said, you won't get it. This is the sacrifice. You won't touch the sacrifice. God won't come. His glory won't come. His light won't come. His fire won't fall. Unless I protect the sacrifice, even so I have set myself for 29 blessed, wonderful, glorious years to protecting the sacrifice of God's Son. This is the great object of the attack by our enemies. I was preaching in Philadelphia yesterday to the Greater Philadelphia Sunday School Convention, and I said to those people, I said, let's never get used to liberals saying this book is not the Word of God. Let's never get used to somebody laughing and making fun of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Let's never become adjusted and never accept somebody saying that Jesus is not the virgin-born Son of God. I said to them these words, every time that somebody says something like that, it makes my blood boil, my cheeks flush, my eyes moisten, my fists clench. Why? Because I'm going to spend my life protecting the sacrifice of Calvary. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. I love that old cross for the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. That's our altar. And Jesus on that cross is our turtle dove, our pigeon, our ram, our heifer, our she-goat. Jesus is represented, the heifer representing the sacrifice of God, the goat representing the fact that He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, the ram representing the fact that He bears our burdens, and the turtle dove and pigeon represent the fact that He takes our sins and flies away with them, never to be returned, to let nothing return to us again. And so that perfect sacrifice of God symbolized by the heifer and the ram and the goat and the turtle dove and the pigeon must be defended. Some of these buzzards are found in college classrooms trying to flay the sacrifice of Christ and make fun of Calvary. Some of these buzzards are found behind high school desks trying to shake the faith of your children and of mine. Some of these buzzards wear seminary robes as they stand behind desks and sit behind desks in seminaries and try to shake the faith of young preachers in the truth of the sacrifice of the atoning work of Calvary. Some of these buzzards even stand behind pulpits this morning in this town. Some of these ravens and buzzards and kites stand behind pulpits this morning and make fun of and laugh at and mock at the thing that we call the precious blood of Jesus Christ. They lodge in the branches of kindergartens waiting to destroy our children. They lie in the limbs of high schools to deceive the lambs. They hover over the trees of our grade schools to destroy our tots. They wait at the matriculation desk of the university trying to shake the faith of your children and my children in the Word of God. They hide with flocks of doves and appear as one in order to peck away at the sacrifice of Christ. Notice, Jesus, God calls them fowls. He doesn't call them reverends. He calls them fowls. He doesn't call them brethren. He calls them fowls. He doesn't call them rabbi. He calls them fowls. He doesn't call them pastor. He calls them fowls. He doesn't call them father. He calls them fowls. He doesn't call them minister. They have disarmed God's army, closed the gates of hope for sinners, and sealed the windows through which the light of the world is supposed to shine through. These buzzards who hover over our schools trying to say to our young people, the Bible's not so. Jesus is not the Son of God. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ is only a myth. And those of us who stand behind pulpits and behind Sunday school class desks need to say with old Abraham, we're going to keep the buzzards away from our kids. They're not going to come to the sacrifice. We are going to preach Calvary. We are going to preach the bloody gospel. The buzzards won't get our kids and destroy the sacrifice. Beloved, we may differ on baptism and still be brethren, but we can't differ on Calvary and still be brethren. We may differ on communion and still be brethren. We can't differ on the sacrifice and still be brethren. We may differ on prophecy and still be brethren. We can't differ on Calvary and still be brethren. We may differ on predestination and still be brethren. We can't differ on Calvary and still be brethren. We may differ on tongues or healing or sanctification or denomination and still be brethren. But brother, unless you've come to Jesus Christ and said, Jesus, you're my hope for heaven. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweet refrain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I don't care how many churches you've joined. If you've not been to Calvary, you can't go to heaven. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. If you've not been to Calvary, you can't go to heaven. That's the reason I make a fool of myself, and folks call me a nut in town, and they hate my insides. I'll tell you why. I want everybody in this area to know there is a sacrifice. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. I will not, I will not, I will not, I will not, I will not cease from fighting when buzzards hover over our town and try to say you can go to heaven without Calvary. There's no other way. I want you to notice we're to chase them off, not join the church. We're to chase them off, not join a ministerial association with them. We're to chase them off, not to share communion with them. We're to chase them off, not to attend their schools. We're to chase them off, not to call them reverend. We're to chase them off. Let me say this morning, if there's a person whose name is on the roll of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, and you don't believe in the blood of Jesus Christ shed as an atonement for sinners, I pray you'll get your membership and get out of this church before sundown tonight, if in case the sun ever shines around here again. I've said to our deacons more than once, and I'll say it again. If ever, a preacher stands in the pulpit of this church and makes light of this book and says it's not the verbally inspired word of God given from heaven, eternally written by God and handed down to man with the voice, with the pen of holy men. If ever somebody stands in this pulpit and says that Jesus is not the virgin-born Son of God. If ever somebody stands in this pulpit and says that he's not the living deity God incarnate. If ever somebody says he didn't die for our sins and his blood washes away the sins of those who in faith look to him, then you kick him out of the pulpit. I've told the deacons, get up out of your seats. And there he says it. Walk toward the front and do like Abraham. Chase the buzzards away. Chase the fowls away. And then if you can't vote him out, you can't get a majority, and this church votes to keep him, then you leave the church and start a new church somewhere that preaches the sacrifice of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Now let me say this. There is, however, a danger here. Abraham didn't go buzzard hunting. He didn't leave the sacrifice. He didn't say, I'm going to kill all the buzzards. He was only interested in the buzzards trying to get the sacrifice. Not our job to go buzzard hunting. I know folks who are so busy fighting communism, they've left the sacrifice. Let me illustrate. Here's this fly. I'm eating, and back in the poor folks section, the tourist section, looking up through the curtain to all the baseball players in the first class section. So I'm eating back in the poor folks section, This little fly comes buzzing around. And pretty soon he goes back and he says, I got a soft touch up here. Brings his friend back with him. Now I got two flies buzzing around here. Now wouldn't I have been a fool when I chased those flies away to kept chasing them? Here I go down the other day, I wish I was home so I could get away from the microphone sound. The other day I was in Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee. And we call them horse flies where I came from. What do you call them up here? Horse flies. No, we call them horse flies. You call them hoss flies. But one of these horse flies got in the room. And he weighed about 3 pounds. And I decided to get him. And I'll tell you what. I bruised my side, skinned my shin, and he was laughing all the time. But suppose I had taken after these flies and left my food here unprotected, other flies would have come. You see, Abraham didn't say, I'll get all you buzzards. He didn't do that. Abraham wasn't concerned in fighting buzzards. Abraham was concerned in conserving the sacrifice. And that's what we ought to do. I'm not concerned in fighting communism, except as communism tries to destroy Jesus. That's all. I'm not concerned in fighting sex education, though I think it's filthy and vile, but I stand over our children and say, you can't have our children, sex education crowd. You can't have our children, you narcotics crowd. You can't have our children, you drinking crowd. You can't have our children, you liberal crowd. You can't have our children, you communist crowd. But I'm not going to go in the buzzard chasing business. I'm going to go in the children protecting business. And God says for us to stay at Calvary. And any time somebody attacks his son, chase the buzzards off. Any time somebody attacks the word, chase the buzzards off. Any time somebody attacks the sacrifice, chase the buzzards off. Any time somebody attacks Calvary, chase the buzzards off. Why? Because our job is protecting. Just stay at the sacrifice and fight off the ravens who teach an earth with no creation, a gospel with no good news, an altar with no sacrifice, a cross with no atonement, a Christ with no deity, a Bible with no inspiration, an eternity with no heaven, a Jonah with no whale, a Noah with no flood, a Daniel with no lion's den, a hell with no fire, a kingdom with no king, a death with no resurrection, a salvation with no regeneration. For nearly 30 blessed, wonderful years, I've stood with the cross and knocked away everything I could find that came to attack the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As long as these hands can move and as long as this voice can speak, as long as these eyes can open, as long as these feet can move, I'm going to give myself to standing with a cross and chasing off anything that comes and says the sacrifice is not necessary. I know it's old-fashioned. I know it's sort of, they call me the piltdown man here in Hammond. I'm Saturday, the piltdown man. I know it! But I intend to defend the cross. You know why? I love Chicago. I don't like the looks. Never did want to live here. I can't walk down the streets without crying. I can't even walk down a state street. I've read about Moody and the great revivals. I've read about how Billy Sunday stumbled in the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission. Left fielder for the Chicago White Sox and traded his spikes for a Bible. R.A. Torrey and Paul Rader and all the rest of them. I got on my face on State Street while I was pastoring in Texas. And I said, oh God, send somebody to this city. Alvin, I've cried over San Francisco. I've gotten out of my car and walked across the Golden Gate Bridge and cried over that city. But I cried over Chicago and I said, oh God, send somebody to Chicago to reach these poor people living house upon a house and little children with nothing but a little concrete for a playground and no place to play, poor little kids. Never dawned on me that God had sent me. Let me tell you something, folks. I preach like I preach and stand like I stand and fight like I fight. So the last junior high person up here this morning who lives in a ghetto in Chicago who never has heard the story of Jesus Christ, so there'll be one place in this area where he can come and hear song. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. They laugh at us. Yeah, you run your buses all over Chicago. Well, shoot, we run all the way to Canada now, imagine. Hey, you're just trying to sheep steal. No, we're not, and God knows we're not. You little primary kids up here in primary one that came on a bus this morning. The reason we've got enemies and fight, and the reason we take a stand, that every time we see a buzzard hovering over Calvary, we chase it off so that you can hear a message of hope and know that God loves you and Jesus died for you. That's why we do it. We do it because up here, you junior boys and girls, God bless you. Many of you didn't have a decent meal all week this week. Some bus captain came by that loved you enough to invite you to come. One preacher said, yeah, I understand you folks at First Baptist give them donuts to come to Sunday school. No, we don't. We give them donuts because they haven't had anything to eat, a lot of them, in a long time, and give them hamburgers, too. The reason I stand over the sacrifice, I take my stand beside Calvary with my M1 rifle and my carbine and my bazooka and my martyr and all the rest of it. I stand beside Calvary, and every time I see a buzzard fly over, get away, you buzzard! We've got to let the boys and girls see this cross and this hill. Get away. Get away.
Get away, get away.
Let me tell you something this morning. That least little child up there who came this morning and the ball of your foot sticking out of the bottom of your shoe, your knee sticking out through your trousers, God knows you're up there and God loves you. There is a Christ. There is a cross. There is a heaven. There is a hell. And the Bible is true. Don't you believe these buzzards that take the cross out of the Bible and the blood out of Christ and the fire out of hell and the golden streets out of heaven? Don't you believe them? Chase them away so people can see that there's still a Calvary and a hope for fallen people. There's a second sacrifice we have to guard. As Abraham guarded this ram, this heifer, this goat, this pigeon, and this turtle dove. And that second sacrifice is the sacrifice of ourselves. No sooner do you get off your knees at salvation than some buzzard comes and offers you a drink of liquor. No sooner do you get off your knees at salvation and you give yourself as a living sacrifice and say, God, all I have is yours. So some kite comes and tells you a filthy joke. Or some raven comes and offers you some dope. Let me say this, kids, high schoolers. Junior hires, high school too, junior high too. Let me say this to you. Make up your mind right now, that you'll never, 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 never let a bottle of whiskey touch your lips or a dope needle touch your arm or a pill go down your throat unless it's a deep pill that a doctor's prescribed for you. You decide right now that you're going to give your body a living sacrifice. And I thought this morning, while he was speaking, I thought this morning, the only place in the, I thought all the people, famous people with whom I'd shared the pulpit. I thought of the day when I got a doctor's degree at Bob Jones University and Governor Maddox was getting a doctor's degree and he and I shared the pulpit. I thought as Sal Dark was speaking this morning and I was sitting here. When he hit the home run, 1951 World Series, was it? 1951 World Series. I was sitting out in the country. And little parsonage valued at $2,000. Had my ear up beside a radio that wouldn't play very loud because it's broken. When Bobby Thompson came up in the last half of the ninth inning and Ralph Branca was pitching, I knew they were in trouble when they took Don Newcomb out. Knew they were in trouble. They'd just called me right quick. I could have told them. But I wanted to take Newcomb out because I wanted the Giants to win. I had my ear up beside that. Alvin Dark got a single, and he said, Don Mueller, and then Whitey Lockman, and then Bobby Thompson came up. I thought this morning, did I ever think I'd sit on the platform with the fellow that started that rally, scored one of those winning runs? Kids, let me tell you something. Nobody wants you but Jesus if you're down and out. I've been where you are. I've sat at an empty table, wore hand-me-downs, and gone barefooted to school and to Sunday school. The only place in the world where an old-fashioned hell, fire, and damnation gospel preacher can sit on the same platform with a World Series hero is when you know Jesus. That's where everybody is equal and all the ground is level. God loves you this morning, and I'm glad. He loves you as much as he loves me. He does. I'm talking to somebody that's not a kid this morning and not a bus kid. I'm talking to a fellow whose signature could move millions of dollars, maybe, whose business is big business, and you have dozens of people working under you. You need the same gospel these poor little kids up here need. Same one. The reason that I stand over the sacrifice and say to all the buzzards who come and say, Jesus is not the virgin-born Son of God, and you don't get saved with the blood. I chase the buzzards away and chase the kites away and kick the ravens away. Why? I'm trying to build in America, do what I can in America to keep the message of Calvary going forth from pulpits all across this country so people can see there is a sacrifice acceptable by a just and holy God. No sooner do you give all your life to Jesus until some buzzard comes and offers you a cigarette, or some buzzard comes and laughs at you, criticizes your church, or shows you the kingdoms of this world and offers them to you, calls you a fanatic. If that won't work, if the buzzards can't get the sacrifice, they'll try to get the fellow who's trying to keep the sacrifice visible to you. They'll say your preacher's a crook. It's Somebody said that the pastor of this church took $1,500 and bought a carpet for the parsonage and took it out of the treasury. And I said, that's a lie. It was only $500. One reason, years ago, I decided to give it all to him. All on the altar, dear Jesus. Master, I hear thy call. Somewhere I know thou canst use me if I surrender my all. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and find peace and sweet rest when you give him your body and soul. No sooner do you give yourself to Jesus, young people, does somebody want to put their tainted hands on you and ruin your decency. I'm set for the defense of our children. I stand at the door of our grade school. I don't go to the grade school often, but I go out. When I go alone at night. I'll get on my knees at the front door of the grade school and I'll say, devil, you can't have them. The buzzards come to try to steal our kids, shake their faith and say there's nothing to the old-time gospel of Calvary. I want to chase them away. You can't have them, devil. You can't have them. You can't have them. You can't have them. You can't have them. Get on back to hell. You can't have our kids. I'm going to chase the buzzards off. I go to our high school. I cry more tears over our high school than all other schools put together. The other day, yesterday, Mr. Pash, the principal, and I were driving back from the airport together. And Rusty, we were talking about the school, and he said, what a wonderful thing it is to be principal of a school. And he said, I've cried more tears than I've ever cried over anything. And I said, Mr. Pash, you remember those boys we had to kick out because they'd taken dope one time? He said, yeah. I said, I cried. We had to kick them out. We had to. We've got to keep our school clean and decent and right and pure. But ladies and gentlemen, I pledge you again this morning as I pledged you before. I pledge you when your young people enter the doors of Hammond Baptist High School and they are told to surrender their lives to Christ and lay their lives on the altar as a living sacrifice, I pledge to you I'll stand at the door of that school and keep the buzzards away as long as I've got strength enough to fight the buzzards. Hiles Anderson College. If ever a country needed a college, America needs Hiles Anderson College. I stand at the door. Dr. Billings knows it's true. Dr. Hilton knows it's true. Dr. Evans knows it's true. I watch it every day through a magnifying glass. Every time I see a little baby buzzard can't even fly yet, I shoot him right quick and chase him away. If I see a little raven that's just gotten out of the egg, ravens come out of eggs. Or they're like kids, the stork brings it. I'm not sure what it is, but every time I see a raven just about out of the egg, can't even move yet, I chase him away. Why? I want there to be, as long as we live, a place where our young people can go to school and sing the message. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. I want there to be a school that stands for decency and honor and stands for the cross and stands for all on the altar. All of it, all of it, all of it. That's why I don't have a bank account. That's why I don't have a dollar in the bank. That's why whatever comes in this hand goes out this one. Because I want my life on the altar. So I can say to the young people, when you put your life on the altar, I'll fight the buzzards away. I was reading this morning, early this morning, reading the Bible. I would turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 21. The story of Rizpah. You know who Rizpah is in the Bible? How many know anything about Rizpah in the Bible, huh? Rizpah, you're about to learn something. Rizpah. She had a couple of boys. The enemy came and killed her boys and five other boys. Her two boys here were lying dead. And Rizpah, that sweet, sweet mother, looked up and saw the fowls coming. She saw the fowls coming to peck away on the bodies of her boys. And Rizpah stood over the bodies of her boys
And she began to fight, and the bodies of her boys lying in state over a fence or on the ground. She fought the buzzards away. They're dead! They're dead, but you can't even get their bodies! You can't have them! You can't have them! You can't have them! Can you see that mother? Her heart broken on the inside and tears streaming down her cheeks as the boys for whom she went into the very jaws of death to bring to life were dead. Their lives are ended. But even though they're dead, buzzards couldn't have them. As long as there's a First Baptist Church of Hammond who has on the stationary head Dr. Jar, Jack Hiles, pastor, as long as I have a sane mind and a well body and strength to preach and a voice to exalt his name, I plan to stand over Calvary and say, get away, buzzards. Get away. Get away, buzzards. Get away! Jesus does save. There is a heaven. There is a hell. There is a Calvary. There is a blood. And I plan to stand over our children who've laid their lives on the altar and say, get away, get away, get away, get away. The county nurse comes out to our high school to check our kids. She doesn't like us. We won't let her come in her miniskirt. You don't like it. You don't have to like it. All you got to do is just take it. Comes out to check it. She's got to wear a skirt. Decent length skirt. Why? We're trying to keep the little teensy-weensy buzzards away, too. Little bitty ones. Little bitty ones. Think of that sweet story that you heard me tell about the little lady who was dying. They called her pastor to her bedside and said to comfort her in a dying hour, but he wasn't at home. A friend said, my pastor's at home. The pastor came who did not wear a tie, was dressed in black, stood over the body of this little dying Christian and said, hello, I'm a pastor of one of your friends. Hello, she said. You know you're dying, don't you? Yes, I'm going to be with Jesus. Have any sins you want me to forgive for you or absolve before you die? She said, maybe, if you can qualify. What do I have to do to qualify? She said, let me see your right hand, please. He held up his right hand. She said, now let me see your left hand. He held up his left hand. The last word she ever said was, sir, you can't forgive my sins. My Savior has scars in his hand. He does. He does. For you. For you kids. You teenagers. For you juniors. Jesus died for you. And there's one church where the sacrifice hasn't been touched but the beak of a buzzard. And you're there this morning. Hey, Junior 3, we're back in the back. Jesus died for you. Yeah, he did. Junior High 1, way back in the corner in the dark, Jesus died for you. Junior 2, high schoolers, little primary 2 children, Jesus died for you. And Abraham played away. Don't you get the sacrifice? God's promised me a boy, and I'm not going to let you get the sacrifice. You can't get off that ram. Get off that goat. Get off that heifer. Get off that turtle dove. Get off that pigeon. Get off. And all of a sudden, heaven opened. The glory of God started to fall, and the fire of God fell. And Abraham said, Sarah, we're going to have a boy. We're going to have a boy. The fire fell. And bless God, let the hordes of hell fight us. Let the people laugh at us. Let them mock and make fun. Let them call us fanatics and fools. Our principal of our high school out witnessing last Saturday night told a man about Jesus. He took his hand and slapped him across the face. He didn't know the principal of our high school was the heavyweight wrestling champion of the small colleges in America. You know what he did? He just said, Jesus loves you. You know what I wish you'd done? Clobbered him. I'm not as good a Christian as he is. Let him laugh. You know what one little teenage girl said? Some of the kids said, let's go back. Let's go back. It's trouble. We're out soul, teenagers out soul winning. He is driving for the teenagers soul winning. Let's go back. Let's go back. Mr. Pash, what was the illustration about what? Yeah, they passed a policeman, and one of the girls said, those policemen get shot at all the time, and they never leave their post. Why should we leave our post? Because one of us gets slapped. And they kept on soul winning. Let them laugh. Let them laugh. Let them laugh. Let them laugh. As long as we can keep in this great Chicago area in the darkness of pagan heathenism and ritualism and idolatry and sin, as long as there can keep rising up above the horizon out here at the outskirts in Hammond, Indiana, a great light that points to Calvary and says the buzzards haven't got all the gospel yet. The buzzards haven't got all the sacrifice yet. And one of these days, bless God, the fire's going to fall. You wait and see. The fire's going to fall, and we're going to see a turn in this nation. I believe with all my soul, I believe it. We're going to see a turn in this nation. And we're going to be able to say to our boys and girls, you can live like we've lived. And you can have Sunday schools to attend like we've had. And you can have a preacher who believes this book like we've had. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And any one of you sinners who plunge beneath that flood can lose all your guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wouldn't you love to go to heaven when you die? Wouldn't you love to have in your heart what Alvin Dark has in his and what a bunch of us other sinners have in ours? Wouldn't you love to have it? Wouldn't you love to have something that can make a hardened athlete cry all the time? Huh? I used to go to church and see Mama cry. I said, Mama, why are you crying? She said, I'm happy. And I used to say, Mama, I don't cry when I'm happy. I do now. I do now. Thank God. Somebody kept the buzzards away till I could hear the message. I aim to keep them away as best I can so you can keep hearing it. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please? Father, I wish I could do better. I wish I could do better at keeping all the fouls away from the sacrifice. I work at it as hard as I can, day and night. I wish I could do better. Oh, God, don't let one of our kids go to the devil. Don't let the buzzards have one of them. And don't let one of these precious unsaved people from 6 to 106 here this morning believe the buzzards who say there's nothing to the old-fashioned gospel. I pray this morning you'd speak to the hearts of our people and to those who are visiting. And may the gospel rise on the horizon higher than ever. And the cross be lifted higher than ever so people can see God's eternal sacrifice, Christ, our substitute, dying for us. Our heads are bowed in prayer and every eye is closed. God loves you today. Yeah, He loves you. He loves you, little child, with a hole in your shoe. He loves you, teenager. You're not dressed like the others are. You couldn't go to the beauty shop and have your hair done this week. You haven't had a new dress in your whole life, maybe a teenage girl. God loves you. He loves you. He loves that Mexican boy who came on a bus this morning. He loves that little black boy, a little black deaf boy with a fist had his hand on his shoulder this morning. He loves that little black deaf boy that came this morning. He loves you. He loves you that own corporations, and he loves you that sweep out the corporation buildings. He loves you that have drove Cadillacs to church. He loves you that hitchhiked or came on an old rickety bus. He loves you that wear $200 suits. He loves you that never saw a new suit. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He became the sacrifice. I wonder how many would say this morning, Brother Hiles, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know that I'm a Christian, but I wish I did. I don't know that if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I wish I did. I want to know. I want to know. God knows I do. I want to go to heaven too. Brother Hiles, pray for me. I want to be saved. Pray for me. First on the main floor. If you don't know you're going to heaven, but you wish you did, you'd say, pray for me. Lift your hand, would you please? Way up high. God bless you. Who else? Who else? On the main floor, way up high. Raise your hand if you don't know you're going to heaven. But yes, God bless you on the back. Who else? You don't know it, but you wish you did. Lift your hand way up high. On the main floor, you don't know you're a Christian, but you want to know. Would you lift your hand for prayer, please? Way up high, would you raise it? Who else? Who else? In the balcony on my left, up here in the high school, too, in the junior one and primary one and junior high two section. Of course, there are a lot of adults up there, too. You don't know that if you died, you'd go to heaven, but you wish you did. You want to go to heaven, and you don't know that you are saved. You'd say, pray for me, Brother Hiles. Would you lift your hand, please, way up high? Lift it way up high. Yes, I see you. Who else? Way up high. Way up high. Raise your hand. Say, pray for me. Yes, God bless you. Way back in the back. Yes. Who else? Way up high. Raise your hand. Say, pray for me. I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I wish I did. Pray for me. Lift your hand, please. In the center balcony, way back in the back. Who back there would say, pray for me? I don't know that I'm saved, but I want to know it. Pray for me. Raise your hand. Way back in the back, please. The center balcony. Way up high. Raise it. And I'll pray for you. God bless you. Who else? Who else? The balcony over here on my right, way back up in the junior high one section, or the adults on the front, or the junior two, or the high school one, or primary two. You want to know that you're saved, but you don't know it now. And you'd say, pray for me. I want to be a Christian. Raise your hand way up high, would you please? God bless you. Who else? Way up high. You don't know that you're going to heaven, but you wish you did. Raise your hand way up high. Way up high. Way up high. Who else? God bless you, our Heavenly Father. It's not as easy to see here as it is at home in our church auditorium. But you see just as well here. I pray you'd speak to the hearts of all of these who need thee. Oh, God, speak to everyone. Chase the buzzards away this morning that would stop people from seeing the sacrifice of God's Son. Chase these flesh-eating animals away so people can see Jesus and be saved. Now our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Listen carefully. If you don't know that your name is written in heaven, if you do not know that if you died this morning, you'd go to heaven, if you do not know and know and know and know that you're God's child, I want you to leave your seat when we stand and sing. I want you to come toward the aisle, the nearest aisle, and down to the front. We can show you how to go to heaven when you die. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. If you're in the upstairs, in the bleachers or balcony, I want you, when we stand and sing, to leave your seat and come to the nearest exit and downstairs to the hallway and into this main building, into the altar. I want you to come on the first stanza. If you want to receive Christ, we can show you how you can go to heaven when you die. I want you on the main floor to come. I want you upstairs to come. Then if you've been saved but have not yet been baptized or made public your profession of faith, you come. And then if you ought to join this church by transfer of membership, you come. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trusting now. Won't you come? Won't you come? Father, bless the invitation. Sanctify it with the sweet, sweet Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.